हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay, so continuing with Krishna's points to Duryodhana. Krishna paused. He looked steadily at Duryodhana, who remained silent. The prince looked downward and rubbed the floor with his sandaled foot. All eyes in the hall were on him. Krishna continued to speak in measured tones. He who prefers the advice of inferior men to that of learned elders meets dangers. Nothing can rescue him. But who but you would abandon kinsmen who are equal in battle to Indra in favor of incompetent and dishonest strangers? Right? So it's like you have Karna, and you have Shakuni, who, you know, they're from other places and all that. He likes them because they support him, that they think the way he thinks. And he's talking about they're inferior and they're incompetent, because in battle we already saw that Arjuna on his own defeated the Kaurava army, including Duryodhana and Karna. You know, and if Shakuni was there, then he would have also been. The only one he didn't like that was just, you know, Bhishma. He didn't need to. And so his point is why would you take these guys when you can have the Pandavas? And it's already been explained, you know, Krishna's just going to talk like he's a king. But the sages already pointed out, this is Narayana Rishi. When the demigods are having a fight that they can't win against the demons, they call in Narayana Rishi. And just the two of them on their own, or one of them, defeats everybody. Like that. And so he has the greatest opportunity. Peace with the Pandavas is more in your interest than union with wicked men. Even though you treat them with deceit and harshness since they were born, they are prepared to forgive everything and live with you as friends. So best of the Bharatas, right? That just proves their good qualities and... O best of the Bharatas, do not show anger towards your own relatives. Live for virtue and not only for pleasure. Only when you will be able to achieve, only then will you be able to achieve what you desire. Living in peace with the Pandavas, all your aims will be achieved, and your fame will spread far and wide. How can you prefer the shelter of Karna, Shakuni, and Dushasana to that of your noble cousins? Karna felt insulted by Krishna's words. He always feels insulted. That's why he's a lesser man. It's just a few words which he's speaking the truth. While we see is with deceit and all kinds of problems, then Karna and that, then they speak insulted, directly insulted. They're not facts. They just speak insulting words. And the Pandavas are willing to, forgive that. But we see Duryodhana, Karna... They can't tolerate anything that doesn't make them sound like they are a king of heaven or something. Karna felt insulted by Krishna's words. He glanced at Duryodhana, who kept his head lowered. Both men found Krishna's speech hard to stomach. Both were convinced that their cause was no less righteous than that of the Pandavas, right? How? Who knows? But they actually think that their position is just as noble as the Pandavas. Everybody else is telling them otherwise. So somehow or another, they're amazed that they're the only, you know, the four of them are the only one that see things as they are. And everybody else, even the sages, can't see things properly. This is their foolishness. How was Dhritarashtra's claim to the throne any less than Pandu's, his younger brother? But they're just saying give back their kingdom. The other half of the kingdom. But their thing is, no, we have to have everything. No, it's just they have their half, you have your half. So you're saying, well, how is it any less? Fine, no problem. Duryodhana's right to the kingdom was at least equal to, if not greater than, the Pandavas' claim. They would not be able to live together in peace, that was clear. Not me, because of him, not because of the Pandavas. Then why should Duryodhana be the one to make concessions? They've already made the concession that they're willing to work with him, but he can't make. The Pandavas left Hastinapur long ago. Things are going on well enough without them. It seemed that Krishna favored them, perhaps because they were close friends. How could he say he had Duryodhana's interest at heart? Right? So this is the demoniac mentality. They can't see reality. Karna turned his angry eyes towards Krishna, who, seeing both his and Duryodhana's defiance, said, "O hero, show me the man who is capable of standing against the enraged Bhima without being destroyed." Having first cajoled, then cited the benefits of peace, Krishna ended by explaining the like results of war with the Pandavas, right? So, first he was trying to be nice and everything like that. That wasn't working. You know, just friends, no family, and like this, and trying to be pleasant. Then that didn't work. The sages spoke, he spoke. Then it's just, he was talking straight, you know, what is the proper, benefit according to Shastra and everything, and just what's going to be the peace. And since that's not working, so then he's going to say, okay, this is what will happen if you fight. He intended to, Krishna ended by explaining the like results of a war with the Pandavas. He intended to instill fear and dissension among the Kurus. Again, who can go into battle against Arjuna and return home alive? Why do you seek war? What benefit do you see in slaughtering all these men? And he means all these men means the ones that are here, except the sages, of course, but all the Kshatriyas. At Kandava, Arjuna vanquished the gods and the Gandharvas, Asuras and Nagas. What chance do you have? And that's literal. It means the others, they talk about it, you know, big talk. But in a fight, Karna can do all the different things. He has the weapons. But in a fight, the Gandharvas defeated him. And he's saying, no, but the gods and the Gandharvas and the Asuras and the Nagas he defeated. And he couldn't, and Karna couldn't defeat just the Gandharvas. You know. Will it be any different from what you experienced when you came to attack the Matsya kingdom? You came to attack Matsya, you got defeated. Look at your kinsmen and friends. Do not let them be killed for your own stupidity. Let not the prosperous Kuru race be destroyed for your sake. Bring the Pandavas here in peace. They will surely install your father as the emperor, and you as his viceroy. That is your only choice to achieve lasting prosperity and happiness. Do not ignore it. After making peace with the Pandavas, you will attain a blessed state. Duryodhana showed no sign of agreeing with Krishna's words. He sat as if on fire, resembling a heap of hot coals. Seeing the prince unmoved, Bhishma said, "Krishna's words are those of a friend, dear son. Follow his advice and do not be vindictive. If you ignore Krishna, you will achieve neither prosperity nor happiness. He has told you what will lead to virtue and profit. Any other course will result in ruin. O king, do not destroy the Kuru's prosperity. Do not cause the death of all these Kshatriyas. Do not destroy your brothers. Do not destroy yourself. Do not drown your parents in a sea of grief." Accept Keshava's advice, because drown your parents in a sea of grief, because Dhritarashtra can't go on the battlefield, so he won't be killed. And neither will his other. But all of their sons, means Duryodhana, all of his brothers, will all be destroyed. When Bhishma was finished, Drona stood. "I too accept what Krishna has advised. His words are pregnant with virtue and will profit all of us. Duryodhana, follow that advice. Do not insult Madhava with your perverted understanding. Those who now encourage you to fight will do little when the time comes," right? Karna will say all this stuff, and when the time comes, he's gone. Rather, like in the battle, it actually comes up that because of his pride and his envy, then, you know, if Bhishma and Karna go out on the battlefield, it's a very powerful, you know, duo there. But because of pride, because he feels insulted by Bhishma, he won't go on the battlefield until Bhishma's killed. So that means already, you know, he's doing it out of his pride, and like this, and you know, Duryodhana and I. But actually, he's weakening Duryodhana's fighting force. So that's what Krishna means. Those who now encourage you to fight will do little when the time comes. They will either not do much or they can't do much. Rather, like you, they will have to depend on others. Know from me that none of us are capable of withstanding Arjuna and Krishna in battle. If you reject my words, you will be left to grieve before long. You have heard all this again and again. What point is there in repeating it? Do as you wish. I do not wish to address you anymore. The Kuru elders had lost patience with Duryodhana. It seemed that nothing could make him see sense. That all these Kshatriyas were soon to die seemed inevitable. There could be no outcome other than what Krishna and so many others had described. So the Supreme Lord is describing it, the sages are describing it, and they can see past, present, and future. After Drona, Vidura spoke. He knew Duryodhana would not hear him, but he wanted to show his solidarity with Krishna's speech, right? Because here at least they make that attempt, right? And so that's the glory. So in the battle, you remember Bhishma, you remember Drona. You know, then Vidura is also glorified, you know, but he gets tossed out, so he does not have the battle. Duryodhana and his brothers, not much happens. You don't hear, it's nothing special. So the point, that point of that, they made their attempt to try to correct the situation, but they're not the authority. You know, so that's a difference between when you have the bureaucracy, when the bureaucracy is the authority, and then they try to say it's everybody else and it wasn't me. As Krishna requested, solidarity, I do not grieve for you, Duryodhana, rather I grieve for your old parents. With only you to protect them, they will soon wander about without anyone. All the friends and ministers will be slain like birds shorn of their wings. Because they begot such a vicious son, they are destined to become beggars in the world. Having heard his three chief ministers concurring with Krishna, Dhritarashtra leaned forward on his throne. The time has come to make peace, Duryodhana. The great-souled Keshava has spoken the truth for our benefit and ultimate salvation. With his help, we can attain our goals. Go with him in peace to Virat and arrange to bring the Pandavas here. Let the hostilities cease. Let the virtuous Yudhishthira place his red-palmed hand on your back with affection. Let the broad-shouldered Vrigoda, red-palmed hand, because the color in that, because the hand has a pinkish, because it's so auspicious. The bodily features are so high class, so because of so much piety. So he's just saying, you know, he's having friendship with such people is so good. Let the broad-shouldered Vrigodara embrace you with goodwill. Let Arjuna and the twins offer you respects while you offer them blessings, right? Because they're younger. Yudhishthira is older, Vrigodara is an equal, and Arjuna and the twins are younger. You and they may enjoy sovereignty over the world together. I think that time has arrived. Dear son, do not disobey me. Choose peace, for you cannot be victorious in battle. Duryodhana was furious. Why was everyone afraid of the Pandavas? Perhaps he had been unfortunate when he had encountered them in the past, but that would soon change. Maybe he was unfortunate, something went wrong. You know, like that, you know, he forgot to, floss his teeth or something in the morning. You know, something was there, but now it's all going to be different. I mean, he saw it twice, he was defeated. Now, aided by the Danava's mystic power and the combined might of the Kuru heroes, he was invincible. Right? He's just going on the Danava's, then said, no, we're going to enter into everyone's body and make them more powerful. He was thinking, well, before I wasn't so powerful, you know, I was like, so, but now with this, but what he doesn't understand is that, but on the other side, they have Krishna. And so basically this war, it's a proxy war between the demigods and the demons. And so then therefore everything, because the Pandavas are coming from the demigods. And Duryodhana is banking on that the demons will support. Now aided by the Danava's mystic power and the combined might of the Kuru heroes, he was invincible. The prince looked at his father, right? He's thinking, no, I can win. But the point is how many people will be lost in the process? He's not thinking about, all these people here could just go home peacefully and live their lives. And everything will be peaceful and it'll be a powerful kingdom. There'll be nothing wrong in the kingdom, no injustice. you know, no criminal acts and everything, and everybody will be prosperous and happy. But he's comfortable to have a war that he thinks he's going to win. But so many will be slain in the battle. You know, Yudhishthira's army and all that, they're all family people, all these things in the kingdom. So, but he doesn't care about that. The prince looked at his father. How could the old man order him in this way? Right? He is the king. Except Bhishma's embrace, Duryodhana shuddered at the thought. And having ruled over the entire earth, how could he be expected to now offer his respects to Yudhishthira? Right? It would still be Dhritarashtra as the king. Right? And Duryodhana would be his viceroy, so he'd be there. But still, he'd have to be respectful, because he's elder. He's an elder brother, just like his younger brothers are respectful of him. Duryodhana felt it was time to speak his mind. Calming himself, he rose from his seat and looked at Krishna. Although you speak out of concern for me, O Madhusudana, you nevertheless criticize me alone. Why, O Keshava, do you praise the Pandavas and accuse me without properly understanding the situation? Because they've done nothing wrong, and he's only done things wrong. You, Vidura, Bhishma, Drona, and my father have all found fault with me, but not with any other. Maybe he should notice. Yet in this matter, I do not find I have acted in any way unworthy. I have not committed the slightest fault. Even after much introspection, I see nothing wrong. So that's the thing. Everything he's done that everybody else can see is wrong. He doesn't see anything is wrong. Because his point is no, according to Niti Shastra, you do whatever it takes to put yourself in a powerful position and put down your enemies. But he's not working on Dharma. Everybody else is speaking Dharma. He only sees Niti. If the Dharma will support his Niti, then it's good. And so he knows the Dharma in such a way to use it, but in the context of Niti. Right? Because the Niti means it's your mundane morality and ethics that get you what you want to get done. So if this guy's in your way, you remove him. And so as far as he's concerned, he's following Shastra. He's doing the right thing. So that's why Niti is just mechanical, and it has to support the actual principle, which is religion. The thought of Duryodhana introspecting in any way brought a smile to Bhishma's face, because he's thinking, how is he introspecting? The prince plainly could not see past his own nose. He went on addressing Krishna in tones of indignant self-righteousness. The Pandavas lost their kingdom at dice. They were not forced to play that game. Even when their wealth was returned, they agreed to play a final game and were thus exiled. But he's not looking at the nature of the game. He's just saying it was just a game and he lost. But he cheated by using a professional gambler. And they only agreed because of Dhritarashtra, not Duryodhana. But it's Duryodhana that they're playing with. You know. What was my fault? Was that my fault? Why do they regard me as an enemy? Even now, although they are weak and incapable, they threaten the Kurus. Right? They see he's an enemy, but he said that he forgives them and all that. But his point is no. If you want your kingdom back, though I promised I would give it back, that means you're seeing me as an enemy. When it says, no, you're a Kshatriya, you spoke that you lose, you go to the forest, and then you come back. But he's still convinced that, no, we found them before the time was up. But according to everybody's calculation, you know, who knows what they're doing, then no, the time was already up, you know, a day or two before. But according to Duryodhana, no, there were a few more months left. So he's just calculating, you know, in a way that's good for him. He's forgetting, you know, certain, astrological considerations. Duryodhana looked at Karna, who clenched his fist in support. The Kaurava prince continued, "We are powerful Kshatriyas, and we will not bow to any man out of fear. I do not see anyone who can face the Kuru army in battle. O Keshava, why should I give anything to the Pandavas under threat of war?" Right, but he's saying, I've done nothing wrong, but what about your pledge that the gambling match was, the second one was based on the principle of you go to the, whoever loses goes to the forest. And after going to the forest, you come back, you get your kingdom back. He somehow or another, always you notice he leaves that out of the equation. Rather, it's my duty to fight. If I lay down my body in battle, then I will achieve a glorious destination in my left life, next life. What Kshatriya born in a noble family would avoid battle out of fear of the enemy? No self-respecting ruler would bow to one who threatened him with harsh words. I am not afraid of the Pandavas. O Madhava, I will never give them any part of this kingdom. It now belongs to Dhritarashtra, and so it will remain. And he's saying, you know, but why are they all telling me? Why do I have to listen? Because he's the king. He says it belongs to Dhritarashtra. We are simply his servants. He wants peace. He's not his servant. Although he once gave away that which should not have been given, we have rectified his error. Right? It means he gave away half the kingdom. He shouldn't have given it away. That's his idea. When I was a child and dependent on others, the Pandavas were mistakenly given the kingdom. We will not make the same mistake again. So his point was, it was a mistake, so we've rectified it. So, you know, everything's back to normal. And it's been going on nicely for 12 years. Why now suddenly everybody wants change? So that's so far his logic. That. So see how it continues as we go. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.